bucking broncos. Sometimes I wish you were my father, I told my Uncle Freeland, trying to wipe the tears from my eyes. Your father just has a lot on his mind, Uncle Freeland said, as he ran his callous, sun-darked hand through my hair and knelt down beside me. His dark brown, kind eyes seemed to pierce my soul. Sometimes he just doesn't take time to understand that you're just a little guy. But you never holler at me, I said, even when I do bad things. Well, you've still got a lot of learning to do, Freeland said. You don't do bad things. You just make mistakes like we all do. When I grow up, I'm going to be just like you, I said. Nice. And the best bronco buster in town. Freeland chuckled as he headed for my father's corral. Well, you do that, he said. Well, that was the last real laugh I ever heard from my hero, Uncle Freeland. He's going to break the wild horse using the hackamore on it. Two ropes and no bridle. Let's watch him. Everybody says he's the best, they said, running after Freeland. Okay, I replied. When I grow up, I'm going to ride horses just like he does. But I don't want to have crippled knees and bow legs like he does. We found a secure place to watch from. They chuckled. We're all going to be bow-legged Barneys. It seems like we're riding horses more than walking. But nobody will ever be as good as my brother Freeland. They disagreed with my imagined future. Not even you. Well, maybe I will, I answered, as I playfully jabbed Vey in his ribs. Stay with him! Stay with him! Vey and I yelled in unison as we watched Freeland trying to tame the wild stallion. Uncle Freeland had pulled alongside the cedar post fencing where we sat. And suddenly, just as we thought he'd gained control, our sheepdog ran into the corral, barking at the heels of the horse, biting at his hooves. No! We screamed. We watched in horror. In a split second, Freeland was flying through the cold winter air, landing stomach first on the jagged cedar post and barbed wire. I don't remember who took care of my beloved Uncle Freeland. I just remember the bright red blood that stained his shirt and rawhide chaps as his blood ran down the jagged post. A group of very silent men loaded my groaning Uncle Freeland into a wagon box, and one of them on each side to steady him. They prompted him to swallow some hard liquor to ease his pain, and he disappeared down the rough wagon track with Vey trailing on his horse behind him. Ma, the girls, and I watched him leave, not yet realizing the gravity of this occasion. In my shot cloud of thought, I heard Ma sobbing loudly and screaming at the same time, "It's 7 miles into town! They'll never make it! Freeland's whole insides are torn up! Ought to kill that dumb dog!" It seemed like my grandparents were gone a lot for a while after that, as they constantly went from Salt Lake to anywhere else someone sent them to hopefully get help from my beloved uncle. A Dr. Freeborn treated him in Salt Lake. Several months after Freeland was thrown into the fence post, Vey and I decided to go see him. The occupants of the house seemed almost ghost-like as Vey and I quietly slipped through the door. "Are you sure it's okay?" I whispered, not knowing if I really wanted to see Freeland. "Grandmother won't be mad?" "Nah," Vey said. "Maybe Freeland will feel more like living if we cheer him up. He sure could use some consoling." An odd, almost putrid smell of alcohol and onions and something else permeated the darkened room. I learned later that that something else smell was the poultice that had been put on Uncle Freeland to try to help him heal. The room seemed at first to be empty until we heard a rustle and the moan. "Maybe we better leave," I said, backing up a step. "He might be sleeping." "No," Vey said. "He can't sleep from the pain." Freeland didn't look at all like the laughing, rambunctious uncle I'd seen a few months before. His face was white, waxen like a withered candle. His voice was low, and it shook when he spoke. "Howdy, cowpokes," Freeland said weakly. "Have you come to see a dying man?" "Don't say that," I said. "You're going to get well. You'll bust broncos again." No, I won't," Freeland replied. "Come closer. I want to show you something." "What?" I asked timidly, my eyes brimming over with tears as I tried to search for some resemblance to the jovial uncle I once knew. "I want you to pull the cloth back on my stomach and Take a good look, Freeland said. My insides are too beat up to heal. I've never seen the insides of a man before, I whispered, trying to swallow down my rising stomach. Don't ever want to see it again, either, they said. Well, take a lesson from me, boys, Freeland whispered. Don't try to erase the wind on your horses anymore. Well, it was a somber walk back through the icy cold January wind as I hurried home to do my evening chores. I felt more alone than usual in my childish world. Who's going to stick up for me now when Father gets mad, I thought. Who's going to horse around with us kids? Why does God take good people home? Mother had us pray. That didn't do any good. I know God listens. Why isn't he listening now? I wonder if they'll write a sad song about Uncle Freeland when he dies. I thought these thoughts as tears filled my eyes, rolled down my cold, reddened cheeks. I cried for not only my wonderful Uncle Freeland, but for myself. Scott Freeland Barney died January 8th, 1922, 7 days after his 23rd birthday. I was 6 years old. As a footnote, a poultice was a compress. You could make it from bread, milk, crushed onions, bullock leaves, Brigham tea, sugar, pine gum, mutton tallow salve, sweet olive oil. It was for anointing external and internal. Vey Barney said they also used gunpowder in poultices. His father and mother had the recipe, but it's been misplaced. I think the recipe ended up with Aunt Lena.